The Policy of Fashion Over Time. Be welcome to Apparel of Time. Respect for indigenous communities versus cultural appropriation, a diffuse line in the fashion and textile design industry. In this first episode of Our Pearl of Time, we will address a topic that is extremely relevant today, because in Mexico, specifically in the fashion industry, an event has been manifested concurrently: a respect and admiration for textiles for indigenous communities. However, this declared respect and admiration becomes a profitable disguise for those Mexicans or foreigners who have decided to be the voice and call themselves defenders and promoters of Mexican textiles by appropriating the creations of indigenous women without giving the working conditions or fair payments most of the time, using this also sometimes as a political banner. In the program Mexico Nación Multicultural, taught by UNAM, the National Autonomous University of Mexico, I had the opportunity to know in depth our origins as Mexicans, the way in which we often forget about them, their culture, their traditions, and wisdom. It is sad to know that in itself, being part of the population that makes up the female gender in Mexico and in various parts of the world entails structural disadvantages and social stigmas. I think that being an indigenous woman in Mexico brings social stigmas that creates an abysmal disadvantage for women in this sector of our society. However, there has been a greater representation of indigenous women, and most of the times, leaders representing this sector have shown greater integrity, strength, and self-confidence than the majority of Mexican citizens. Still, discriminatory, racist, and classist discourses permeate and continue to be reproduced in our country by women and men in different conditions. As an example of this issue of discriminatory, racist, and classist discourses, we can see the types of comments on social networks towards Yalitza Aparicio, an actress who debuted and appeared in the world of cinema for her leading role in Roma of 2018, a film directed by the filmmaker Alfonso Cuarón. The same film that has generated various positions and criticism. I consider that the film by this Mexican filmmaker represents in a very realistic way the role that we as a westernized culture in Mexico have led to indigenous groups and communities to the displacement towards cities and the gradual disappearance of their costume and as communities. As a result of this, we have seen the disappearance of indigenous languages, a legacy that, according to data from the World Bank, is at risk of disappearance. The National Commission for the Development of Indigenous People have analyzed 62 languages in Mexico and concluded that 22 were subject to a rapid replacement process, which includes large linguistic groups such as Otomi and Mayan, while other 19 were in a moderate process of replacement, including the most common indigenous languages in the country, Nahuatl and Zapotec. The The migration of individuals belonging to indigenous communities to the cities is a resource that is used with the firm purpose of improving the quality and life conditions. This phenomenon demonstrates that there are root cause structural problems that have to do with poverty levels, social exclusion, also due to political conflicts. The lack of legal and efficient recognition of indigenous rights in our constitution, where we still need to rethink in order to adequate and build an integration that respects the diversity, knowledge, and legacy of indigenous communities. Unfortunately, in Mexico, it seems that the process of conquering the new Spain, that it's now dissolved, and the type of colonizing mindset that permeated at that time became strongly rooted in the Mexican cultural script and collective memory, where we see the one who is different from the majority as an ignorant who must be enlightened and evangelized so that he can live. Who asks to be rescued, but this is nothing more than a discourse that I consider only seeks the legitimation of power supported by a fake altruism, where that declared altruism serves to exploit the other in order to achieve personal goals, monetary goals, that do not bring with them a collective and common good but an individualistic role in between. It seems that this dynamic has been reproduced and established in the interaction of the majority of half-blooded and castellanized Mexicans with Mexicans belonging to indigenous ethnic groups, above all in the world of fashion. Since the recognition of Yalitza and the voice that she represents with all the controversy that she caused since her debut and the beginning of her artistic career, Yalitza appeared in fashion magazines such as Vogue Mexico in January's edition of 2019 and in the social magazine Hola in 2019. The Vogue edition had a great response from the public and consumers. It stood out for a great execution, respecting the beauty of indigenous women and enthralling it. However, Hola was a magazine with an edition with too many issues involved. The pictures of Yalitza Aparicio were photoshopped and were far from the real image of Yalitza. It was pretty evident that modifications had been made in the skin tone, the facial features of the actress. This demonstrated that Yalitza had become a profitable figure in sales and behavior redemption of certain magazines that for years they did not took into their equation this respect, admiration and recognition of the beauty and intellect of the indigenous women, whom for years had been excluded and discriminated against, or even sometimes women themselves had taken them as a reference from which the standards of beauty had to completely deviate. If you were a woman who aspired to execute the dominant canons of beauty, you had to abort them. A clear example of these same speeches and follow-up of these beauty canons can be seen in Yalitza's image editing actions of this magazine Hola, where it has also been mentioned that these type of magazines have an allowed percentage of pages for people with dark skin tone. It was in 2019 that, in the national and international fashion industry, Mexican textiles created by indigenous women were a total sensation, which continues to be so. Different international luxury fashion houses such as Carolina Herrera used textile patterns from these indigenous groups. Mexico made a pronunciation against it and accused the signature of the Venezuelan designer of plagiarism, opening obvious debates of cultural appropriation. Anyway, I consider that this was a result of the conduct that companies in the Mexican fashion industry have also printed and executed in the same way. Or in the best of cases, they call themselves the saviors of these textiles and sell themselves as businesswomen who favor the lives of indigenous women by giving them work. I want to make a note that I am not against the generation of jobs, but I am against cultural appropriation and actions that make profits under unfair conditions and do not have or give adequate credit to the true creators of these textiles. These textiles are now not only promoted, but also used by brands and people who see them and use their talents of these women as an excellent source of enrichment. Indigenous communities have lived in poverty for decades. The rights have been violated for centuries, and they have been oppressed. In Mexico, the recognition of indigenous communities in our constitution is only a few decades old. This has evidently placed them in a vulnerable and still vulnerable sector in terms of conditions and quality of life. And what is disturbing is to see how women, businesswomen, many of them declared as feminists, in search of gender equality and opportunities, who declared themselves against female exploitation and the objectification of women, reproduce actions that the male gender and patriarchal structures have established throughout history towards the same female gender. It makes me think that there is still much to question and rethink ourselves as a society and above all as Castilianized half-blooded women, to make a true self-criticism of ourselves and the way in which we transfer and live human values. The respect for the other human being and the recognition of diversity in our life by questioning our relationship with others in order to improve it day by day. It is actually sad that this phenomenon in our reality has not generated this debate and rethinking. It still does not have authors, academics, or fashion editorialists talking about this. Because when a problem does not declare its existence and it's transmitted in our communications, it will hardly be visible in society, and awareness around interaction dynamics will turn out to be increasingly difficult due to the constant legitimation of certain social dynamics that become social structures at the same time. This dynamic in the creation of companies at the expense of the talent of indigenous women, without proper recognition and economic retribution, continues to reproduce, generating exorbitant profits for the final sellers who declare themselves designers when they really do not design anything, not even the same concept. It is only cultural appropriation without real proposals or talent collaborations. An example of this same reproduction is the luxury label Pippa Holt, created by an ex-former British stylist from Vogue UK. The firm has appropriated textile designs, embroidery, and shapes created by Oaxaca women. This luxury firm gives the credit to indigenous women in their webpage, but does not put the name of the creators, nor percentages or remuneration of cessation of rights to create the textile to the signature. The prices of the pieces of this brand range between 7,000 to 34,000 Mexican pesos, that in US dollars it's $312 to $1,600. And a number of well-known artists of this international entertainment industry are fervent consumers. Surprisingly, it has been actors in Mexican politics who have taken actions to correct and prevent the cultural appropriation in Mexican textiles from continuing to its normalization and perpetuation. Last year, at the Guelaguetza Festival that takes place in Oaxaca, the current Secretary of Tourism, Miguel Torruco, and the Senator of Oaxaca, Susana Harp, carried banners with the legends hashtag Mexico without textile plagiarism, hashtag defending Mexican art, hashtag origin does count, and hashtag Oaxaca's pride, in order to attract international attention to this crime. A crime that not only international brands have participated in, but national brands have also done it. Because of this issue, the wife of the governor of Oaxaca, Yvette Murat, has promoted the sale of Oaxacan artisans without intermediaries through the e-commerce platform Amazon. There are still many processes to improve, since Oaxaca is a federal entity devastated by extreme poverty and lack of access to basic services. However, this crime and exploitation begins to become visible, but this phenomena, by its own existence, still shows us the constant vexation of the human rights of indigenous women, the exploitation of the culture and the legacy of the indigenous communities, disguised as a totally fake recognition of Mexican multiculturalism. And we have reached the end of this first episode of Apparel of Time. We hope you liked it. Do not forget to follow us on our social networks. On the Gram and Facebook, we're as Apparel of Time. We will love to interact with you. I send you a warm, warm hug, and I'll wait for you in the next episode. Your friend, Ariadna Nieva.